Now, if you would please take your copies of God's holy word in your hands and turn with me to the book of Malachi once again. Let me begin by thanking you for your kind greetings and your warm hospitality. It's been a joy being with you last evening and again some of you during the day today, and I look forward to our fellowship under God's word and informally later on here this evening. Malachi, tonight we're looking at Malachi chapter 2, and we'll be considering the words of verses 1 to 9 of this second chapter. You will remember that Malachi has been sent to the people of Judah who have come back to their own land after their captivity in Babylon. The temple has been rebuilt, the priesthood restored, and the worship of God renewed. But the spiritual temperature of God's people is nevertheless very low indeed. In the opening verses of chapter 1, the dominant theme, the big idea that underpins and provides the foundation for everything Malachi says, sounds loud and clear: I have loved you, says the Lord. The love of God informs every part of the message of the prophecy of Malachi. It is the animating principle, the driving force that moves all that he has to say as he preaches to the backslidden people of God. But then, having made that great foundational principle clear to us in verses 1 to 5 of chapter 1, as we saw last evening in verses 6 to 14 of the first chapter, Malachi turned his sights on the debased, lazy worship that was being offered by the people, aided and abetted by the priesthood. The people of God, we saw last night, had grown bored with worship because they had grown bored with God. And now in chapter 2, verses 1 to 9, our passage this evening, Malachi traces the causes of that spiritual boredom and that spiritual decline back to a failure of the ministry of the word. The reason things are at such a low ebb spiritually in Judah and in Jerusalem has to do with a failure of the ministry of the word. What we have in these opening 9 verses of chapter 2 is an often overlooked but vitally important Old Testament text dealing with the importance of a faithful preaching ministry. The importance of a faithful preaching ministry. Before we read it together, would you bow your heads with me then as we ask for the ministry of the Holy Spirit to wield his word in our hearts as we sit under it together tonight. Let's pray. O Lord our God, the Spirit of Christ who inspired the words before us must illuminate our understanding if we are to see the light of the knowledge of the glory of God shining in the face of Jesus Christ in these verses of your word. And so, as sinful people saved by grace, we bow down before you, praying for the Spirit's work among us. O Lord, grant that he might minister his own word to our hearts, that the word of God tonight might go forth in demonstration of the Holy Spirit and in power, for the glory of the name of Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. Malachi chapter 2 at verse 1, this is the word of Almighty God. And now, O priests, this command is for you. If you will not listen, if you will not take it to heart to give honor to my name, says the Lord of hosts, then I will send the curse upon you, and I will curse your blessings. Indeed, I have already cursed them because you do not lay it to heart. Behold, I will rebuke your offspring and spread dung on your faces, the dung of your offerings, and you shall be taken away with it. So you shall know that I have sent this command to you, that my covenant with Levi may stand, says the Lord of hosts. My covenant with him was one of life and peace, and I gave them to him. It was a covenant of fear, and he feared me. He stood in awe of my name. True instruction was in his mouth, and no wrong was found on his lips. He walked with me in peace and uprightness, and he turned many from iniquity. For the lips of a priest should guard knowledge, and people should seek instruction from his mouth, for he is the messenger of the Lord of hosts. But you have turned aside from the way. You have caused many to stumble by your instruction. You have corrupted the covenant of Levi, says the Lord of hosts. And so I make you despised and abased before all the people, inasmuch as you do not keep my ways, but show partiality in your instruction. Amen. And we praise God that he has spoken in his inerrant and authoritative words. Well, the big idea in our text is that the health of the ministry of the word is directly connected to the health of the people of God. The health and vitality of the ministry of the word is directly connected to the health and vitality of the people of God. As goes the pulpit, so goes the church. To the degree that the pulpit is marked by fidelity to the truth of God, both in the life of the preacher and in the content of the preaching, to that same degree will there be a corresponding fidelity, faithfulness, marking the congregation itself. As goes preaching, so goes the church. Which means that the diet of biblical instruction provided for the church week in and week out could not be more important, could it? Malachi 2:1-9, in other words, while directly addressing those whose task it is to teach the word of God to the people, deals with a subject in which every Christian ought to have a vital, compelling interest. It is your interest, it is in your best interests, people of God, to know what God expects of those who hold forth the word of life. That you may pray with understanding for your elders and for your pastor, for those who are tasked with teaching the children and teaching in Sunday school, who are charged with the ministry of the words, that you might also hold them to account and say, give us the truth and nothing but the truth, because we know as goes the teaching ministry of the church, so will go the spiritual temperature and vitality and life of the church. So let us consider then these 9 verses together. I want to examine the teaching of Malachi here under 4 headings. First, I want you to see the picture here of failed word ministry. There is a picture of failed word ministry. Then secondly, we'll notice the promise of future word ministry that Malachi gives. Though things are bleak, as Malachi spoke to God's people, the plans of the Lord long term, nevertheless, were in fact to preserve and to perpetuate the ministry of the word among them. So the picture of failed word ministry, the promise of future word ministry, then thirdly, the pattern of faithful word ministry. Here's, Malachi says, here's how faithfulness in preaching and teaching the word ought to look. And then finally, there is a pointer to the final word minister. So, did you get that? Those of you who are taking notes, you got the outline, the picture of failed word ministry, the promise of future word ministry, the pattern of faithful word ministry, and a pointer to the final word minister. And surely you'll give me some credit for that alliteration. I worked really hard on that. You're underwhelmed, I can see. Let's think first of all about the picture Malachi paints of failed word ministry. A picture of failed word ministry. Just before 7 a.m. on February the 9th of this year, actually I think now last year, at a bend in the tracks about 37 miles southeast of the city of Munich in Germany, two passenger trains carrying about 150 passengers collided head-on at a speed of about 62 miles per hour. Because of the curve in the tracks, the two drivers were unable to see one another before it was too late. One train drilled into the other, leaving a carriage, in the words of German Transport Minister Alexander Dobrindt, quote, completely dismantled. A week later, Wolfgang Giese, the senior prosecutor for the case, announced that the cause of the collision was human error. A dispatcher had signaled the two trains coming from opposite directions that it was okay for them to travel on the same track. The dispatcher gave the wrong instructions, and the result was one of the worst train crashes in German history. That tragedy, I think, is a useful metaphor for the situation described in our passage in Malachi 2, 1-9. The priests, whose task it was to give instruction to the people, have failed in the ministry of the word. And the result was a spiritual train wreck in the life of God's people of devastating proportions. We saw something of the scale of the spiritual disaster taking place in the life of the community of the people of God last night in chapter 1, as they descended into half-hearted indifference toward God. And Malachi was clear then that it was primarily the fault of the priests. Look at chapter 1, verse 6. A son honors his father and a servant his master. If then I am a father, where is my honor? And if I am a master, where is my fear, says the Lord of hosts? To you, O priests. It is the priests who bear the great responsibility for the condition of things among God's people, as Malachi writes to them. As you may know, the priests had two main duties to perform. They were to lead the people of God in the worship of God, and they were to instruct the people of God in the Word of God. And the argument of our text is that a failure in the latter responsibility to instruct them with the words makes the failure of the former responsibility, the failure of the worship of God, possible. A failure of word ministry undermines worship just as it undermines everything else in the life of the church and in the life of the believer. Notice for a moment how the failure of the priesthood brackets our passage in verses 2 and 3. The Lord tells them about the consequences of their failure. He's going to shame them. The dung, he says, of their debased sacrifices will be spread on their faces, and they will be taken away like garbage right along with it. The consequences of their failure. And in verses 8 and 9 at the other end of the passage, there are the contours of their failure. Verses 8 and 9, they did four things. First, they themselves strayed from the path of obedience to God. Verse 8, you have turned aside from the way. Their own lives were marked by a failure to follow the path of godliness. And that is so often the root of a failure in the pulpit, you know, a failure to preach truth truly. Again and again, error and defection from the word in proclamation is preceded by error and failure to obey the word in the details of the minister's private life. Godliness matters for the effectiveness of a preaching ministry. They strayed from the path, Malachi says. Then secondly, he says, and almost inevitably, they caused others to stray right along with them. You see that in verse 8, you have caused many to stumble by your instruction. The dispatcher was giving poor instructions to the train drivers, and a collision was the inevitable result. That's what Malachi is saying was taking place in the life of the community. The wandering priests led others to wander from the way right along with them. And thirdly, we're told they perverted God's plan. They corrupted the covenant of Levi, Malachi says. That is to say, the pattern of faithful ministry given to the Levites in the law of Moses has been distorted and debased and disregarded. They have twisted their divine marching orders in order to justify their disobedience. And then finally, Malachi says they were showing partiality. Verse 9, you do not keep my ways, but show partiality in your instruction. They were inconsistent. They applied the principles of Torah in a way that gave preferential treatment to some while they condemn others. They distorted the pattern of faith and life that God had given in his word for their own selfish ends. And the result of all of that was that the ministry of the word had come to be held in widespread disrepute. Verse 9 again, so I make you despised and abased before all the people. And that surely is a warning for our times, wouldn't you agree? The widespread rejection of preaching and the widespread suspicion of preachers, so normal in our culture, is not simply a symptom of general spiritual decline out there in the world. It is also, and perhaps even primarily, a fruit of the failure of the ministry of the word in here in the church. There are charlatans on our television screens promising health and prosperity while they get rich on the misguided generosity of often the most desperate and needy. There are mitred bishops and high church officials meeting in synods and in councils to declare the Bible, in their vaunted wisdom, to declare the Bible unreliable and homosexuality morally acceptable, not noticing all the while that the people are deserting their churches every year in the tens of thousands. Others have exchanged their lofty calling to herald the unsearchable riches of Christ for a political soapbox or a social agenda, while still others who remain faithful and preach the gospel truly use it nevertheless as a means of godless gain, seeking to climb the ecclesiastical ladder or to pursue celebrity. And so the people are made to stumble. And the world comes to hold the pulpit in contempt. We need to remember the word of James, the brother of our Lord, who warned us, not many of you should become teachers, my brothers, for you know that we who teach will be judged with greater strictness. To preach the word is not a profession, a job among other jobs. It is a divine calling upon the faithful discharge of which rests the health of the flock of God. And so Malachi here paints a sobering picture of the failure of word ministry, both of its consequences and of its character. But then secondly, would you notice here what we learn about the promise of future word ministry? There's not just a picture of the failure, but a promise of the future. Look at verse 4, please. So you shall know that I have sent this command to you, that my covenant with Levi may stand, says the Lord of hosts. Because of their failure to be faithful, God is going to curse the blessings of the priests that they had been enjoying, he says, verse 2. He's going to shame them, even remove them eventually, verse 3. But he's going to do it all in order that the covenant with Levi might stand. That is to say, he will do it all. He will act to maintain and to restore a priesthood that will uphold the biblical mandates given to the Levites, who will be faithful to their divine calling. Here we're getting just a glimpse, but a real glimpse of the commitment of God to the preservation and perpetuation of faithful ministry. He will not leave his church without the word. He will not leave his flock without a faithful shepherd to lead them. He is radically committed to the preaching of the word. Jesus said, I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. And this is part of what he meant. He will supply gospel ministers to rightly divide the word of truth and to lead the people of God as under shepherds to green pastures and quiet waters where the Lord will restore their souls. Ephesians 4, 11 and 12 tells us, in fact, that pastor teachers are the gift of the ascended Christ to the church, purchased and won by him at the cross. While Malachi's indictment of the failure of the ministry of the word is sobering here, he's quick to comfort us by reminding us of God's own commitment to preserve and to perpetuate faithful word ministry nevertheless. He will not leave his church without pastor teachers to equip the saints, Paul says in Ephesians 4, for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the fullness of the stature of Christ. He sent Jesus to the cross and raised him in triumph from the grave and seated him at his right hand in glory to ensure that happens, that the exalted Christ might give the gifts that are the fruit of his victory to the church, among the choicest of which are pastor teachers who will open the word to us and comfort us in our sorrows and rivet our attention not on themselves but on our Savior, who is all that our hearts really need. If Jesus gives you pastor teachers who open the word of God to you faithfully, it is a reminder to you that he loves you. When he says in the opening verses of the book of Malachi, I have loved you, one of the evidences of his love for you is to send you gospel servants to rub your nose in the text of Holy Scripture, and to say, here is the word of life, and here you will meet the Lord of life. Here is where Jesus steps forward to give himself to you and you in the preaching of the Word of God, in the ministry of Holy Scripture. A faithful pastor teacher, therefore, is something to be cherished and prized by the church. If I didn't know better that I would embarrass your pastor, I would exhort you all to pray for him. And I would exhort you all to be an encouragement to him and to tend to him and to his family, knowing that he has you on his heart and he loves you and seeks to pastor you with the word. Cherish your pastor. He is an evidence to you that Jesus loves you and has sent one to preach the truth to you. What a gift a faithful gospel minister is to the church in these days of widespread ministerial defection from the truth. So Malachi paints a picture for us of the failure of the ministry of the word, and yet he gives us a promise here, just an implied promise, but a real promise, that he will work to maintain and preserve and provide faithful word ministry for his people. Then thirdly, I want you to notice that he also supplies for us here a pattern for the faithful ministry of the word. Here's what it ought to look like when you have it. Here's what faithful priests, faithful word ministers should be and do. Three things. First, faithful ministers must hear the word. Verses 1 and 2. And now, O priests, this command is for you. If you will not listen, if you will not take it to heart, to give honor to my name, says the Lord of hosts, then I will send the curse upon you. God calls Bible teachers, not just preachers, but every one of you called and charged to handle the word and to teach it to others. God calls Bible teachers first to be Bible hearers. They are to listen to him when he speaks. Now that means much more than simply paying attention to data, to content. No, God says to them they are to take it to heart. They are to receive, to digest, and to be nourished by the truth themselves. Bible teachers must first be Bible students and Bible believers and Bible doers. The word that must sound from our lips must ring in our ears and burn in our hearts and nourish our souls. If the word is not living for you who are called upon to teach it, it will not likely quench the thirst or sate the hunger of others when you do. Elders, Sunday school teachers, small group leaders, pastor of the flock here at Hillcrest, are you daily students of the word? And does the truth you read and learn penetrate your hearts and shape your life? A faithful minister must be a student, a hearer, a lover of the word. Secondly, Malachi says faithful ministers must not only hear the word, they must live the word. Verse 5. My covenant was with him and was one of life and peace, and I gave them to him. It was a covenant of fear, and he feared me and stood in awe of my name. The spiritual realities that are held out in the Word of God must be spiritual realities experienced and enjoyed in the life of a servant of God. The great failure of the priesthood began when they themselves strayed from the way. It was the discrepancy between the message and the life of the messenger that was the major cause for stumbling for those who attended their ministries. Life and peace, holy fear of God, standing in awe of His name. No spiritual boredom here, but a heart captivated, captured by the grandeur and the glory of the triune God. That is the birthright, actually, of every single Christian. And the Word of God is the primary means by which those blessings become ours. We must be in the Word. And so it is vital that those who are called to teach the Word to others model and enjoy these realities, these blessings for themselves. That they themselves are gripped and possessed by zeal for the glory of God and can confess regularly and often to drinking deeply of the grace of God opened here in the Word of God for the comfort and strengthening of their own faith and their own growth in grace. This is, in other words, a call to spiritual authenticity, to true holiness. After all, as Robert Murray McShane famously put it, a holy minister is an awful weapon in the hands of God. A holy minister. Do you pray for your elders that God would make them holy men? Do your prayers penetrate to their deepest need? Not recovery from sickness, not strength to bear up under daily challenges, but that they should be like Jesus Christ and love the things He loves and be men of the book. Word ministers are to hear the Word and live the Word. And thirdly, faithful ministers, Malachi says, must preach the Word. Verses 6 and 7. True instruction was in his mouth. No wrong was found on his lips. He walked with me in peace and uprightness. And he turned many from iniquity. For the lips of a priest should guard knowledge, and people should seek instruction from his mouth. For he is the messenger of the Lord of hosts. There is accuracy. True instruction, Malachi calls it. No wrong on his lips. That's the great mark of his teaching ministry. Accuracy. What he says is clearly, manifestly, unambiguously what God says. No one should be able to come to you after your teaching and say to you, "Where did you get that from?" It's right there in the Word. A faithful minister can say to his own congregation with the Apostle Paul in Acts 20 at verse 27, "I did not shrink from declaring to you the whole counsel of God." He has left nothing out. He's not shown partiality with his message. His preaching is not an idiosyncratic expression of his pet subjects and his hobby horses. No, he preaches the Word in season and out of season, reproving, rebuking, and exhorting with complete patience and teaching. Furthermore, Malachi says he is to guard knowledge. Verse 7. And how is he to guard knowledge? Look what Malachi says. Isn't this interesting? He guards knowledge by giving it away, by multiplying it, by making it the possession of more and more people. That's what Malachi says. He is to guard knowledge, and people should seek instruction from his mouth. He guards knowledge by instructing people, by telling them the truth. Malachi is saying that they are to have, the others who are to teach the word, the priesthood, they are to have the same sense of divine burden, obligation that Malachi himself has told us he carries. Remember how he characterizes his prophecy? It is the oracle of the word of the Lord. That word oracle is the word burden. Carries the sense of the weightiness and the urgency, the driving, pressing necessity that is laid upon him to proclaim the good news, to preach the word, and to declare the message entrusted to him. And Malachi says that same sense of divine obligation should rest upon you also, you priests who are charged with teaching the word, which is why he calls them messengers of the Lord. Remember, Malachi's name means my messenger. He's saying you're to do what you see me doing and hear me doing. We're not to be doing two different things. As I declare the word, you also are to declare the word with the same sense of urgency and divine accountability, necessity having been laid upon us. Woe to us if we do not preach the gospel. So a faithful minister is to hear the word and live the word and preach the word. Notice the sequence, the order of those things. It must not be reversed. Hear the word, live the word, preach the word. Be in the word for yourself. Live the word as a result, and then teach the word with passion and joy to others, leading them to the same springs of living water from which you yourself regularly drink. Out of the overflow of God's dealing with your soul, you will be enabled to help others also, that the comfort with which you have been comforted might be used of God to comfort others. That is Malachi's word to faithful ministers. And may the Lord raise up many more to labor for him, because the fields are white unto harvest. And so here there is a picture of failed word ministry, sobering, challenging picture. There's a promise of future word ministry. God is committed to ensuring the preservation and perpetuation of a preaching ministry because he loves his people. There's a pattern of faithful word ministry. He even shows us what it looks like. We are to be students of the words. We are to live it out, and it's to be real in our hearts. And then we are to teach and preach the truth out of the depth of our own communion with the living God. But before we close, we need to see that there is also here a pointer to the final and the great word minister. The great failure of the priesthood both to offer right sacrifices and to teach the word of God faithfully is a reminder to us that the greatest need of the people of God has always been for a perfect priest. Right? That's our greatest need. One who is not prone to the failures Malachi is highlighting here. Now, to be sure, Christ, as we've already said, gives pastor teachers to his church. The priestly ministry of preaching and teaching certainly continues today in the work of the pastor. But the perfect embodiment of the priestly character Malachi pictures for us, especially in verses 5 to 7, the one who is the final and climactic messenger of the Lord of hosts is the Lord Jesus Christ himself. And we're ending here because there's a great danger for congregations, especially congregations like this one, who have faithful pastors who rightly divide the word of truth. There is a great danger for congregations to look to mere men to be the solution to their spiritual needs. To look to our pastors to dry our tears and heal our wounds and grow our numbers and strengthen us in our weakness and sustain us in our trials. But that is not the work of a pastor. The work of a pastor is to say, behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. He's the one you need. Look there. Run there to Him. He will wipe away every tear from your eyes. He will satisfy your heart. He will sustain you in the depth of every trial. He is a Savior sufficient for you. Don't look to me, look to Him, the preacher must say. Jesus is the one your heart needs. So bless the Lord that He has given you faithful elders, faithful pastors and teachers. But do not look to them for that for which only Jesus is the answer. Look to Christ and elders, pastors. Be sure that you are always a signpost pointing away from yourself to Him. Here is the only real help you have been equipped to offer. Here's the only medicine you can administer. Here's the only tool in your toolbox. As you sit with the weeping and the grieving, with the sin sick and the broken, with the confused and the afraid, with those who struggle with assurance, with those who do not know Christ and are seeking answers. It is not to say, trust me, follow me, listen to me. It is to say, look to Jesus Christ, run to Jesus Christ. Let me help you and take you by the hand to be sure. But I will bring you, as far as I am able, I will bring you to Jesus Christ. People of God, He is the one your heart needs. Run to Him, our great and perfect priest. Let us pray together. O our Father, we bow before You, and how grateful we are that You have raised up, that Christ, our ascended King, the great head of His church, because of His victory over the grave, has given gifts to His church in pastors and teachers, elders, to teach the word and shepherd the flock. How we bless You for them, and we pray for them. Would You make them holy men? Slay sin and pride in their hearts. Make them love the people of God. Put the names and the faces of Your flock in this place upon their hearts. Burden them with love for Your people. And make them models of what penitent godliness looks like. Not perfect godliness, but penitent, repenting, believing, running to Jesus godliness. And as You begin to do that in their hearts, would You also begin to do it in the hearts of the whole flock of God here? Cause a glorious spiritual infection to spread throughout this congregation of men and women, boys and girls, running hard after likeness to Christ, loving and serving one another with joy for the glory of His name. O Lord, wield Your word to do that mighty work in this place, that all the praise might be Yours. In Jesus' name, amen.